actually cause a problem because I had too much information overload. You know, it's too much time because God just keeps giving me thing after thing, and He's working in my heart, and I hope that He works in your heart as well. So let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful to be in your house today, a house, Lord God, that you have blessed us with heat, with people that love you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that as I share this word, that you speak to their hearts, Lord God. Speak to their minds. Speak the love that you have for them, for each and every person, every family represented, Father. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will move in this place, Lord God, and take our hearts and just take them with you, Lord God, and show us how much you really love us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start off with a story. I love stories. And I love stories about myself because I know a little bit about myself. So I like those kind of stories. About 34 years ago, I was 1 year into my job, and I was in the lunchroom. We call it the green room. You know why they call it the green room? Because it was green, right? That's why we call it the green room. We're very sophisticated, you know. We're sitting in the, you know, you have the big bench where everybody was sitting down, and we had chairs, and everybody's sitting down eating lunch, and I'm new. I'm really new. And and Pastor knows, when you work in these kind of places, factories, the guys like to test you. They like to see what you're made of. They like to see what they can bend and break in you. So you have all these people there, and one guy says, "Hey, Santos, where's your knife?" I go, "Knife? If I had a knife, my dad would kill me. You know, I didn't walk around with a knife." And they go, "Well," and the other guy goes, "Well, he's an electrician because he couldn't make it in baseball." Right? And I says, "I love baseball. Actually, I was pretty good in baseball." You know, I'm listening to all these things. And they say to me, "What do you have to say for yourself?" So, being who I am, you know, your shoulders come up and everything. And I go, "American Brass has been very, very good to me." And I use that to defer. You guys know where that's from, right? You guys know that where that's from the play, right? Yeah, West Side Story, exactly. All right, so I use that because, see, I have kind of thick skin. I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and I was raised with a lot of people telling me that you can do this, my parents, my sister especially, that you can do this. So sometimes we hear things that are negative. There's a lot of things I could have taken the cause with carrying a knife. Are you saying because I'm Puerto Rican that we all carry knives, you know? Are you saying because I'm Puerto Rican that we only play baseball, all right? Most of us do, but that's but are you saying those things? You can take those things a different way. You see how people's input in your lives sometimes changes the way you act. You believe what people say, all right? They feed you information and you believe it. They say, "You're not good enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not thin enough. You're not tall enough." All right? All these things that people say. Sometimes people say things to us that we take to heart, forgetting what God says. We take these things to heart and we start walking in those things that people are saying about us that are not true. That's not what God says. And we take that to heart. And I believe that's a lot of cause of our problems today. And our young people, they take things to heart that's not true. You know, because you come from a certain area does not mean that you cannot succeed. I mean, you know, I grew up poor. I didn't even know it. You know, I didn't even know it. I never missed a meal. I took my sister's meals if they left it there. I never missed a meal, but, you know, I never knew I was poor. You know, because I was treated so well, and I thought everybody was like this, you know. All my friends seemed to have the same things as we did. Never got a bike until I had my own first job delivering papers. That's the first time I bought a bike. I bought it myself at the Goodwill. Put it together, fixed it, and rode it. My brother and I. So, you know, people can tell you things. You're from this neighborhood, you're never going to succeed. You're this color, you're never going to succeed. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough, whatever. All right? That's what people say. But we're going to talk today about what God says. All right? Because what He says is what matters. And what He says is what changes our hearts and changes our mindset. All right? And that's important. If you change your mindset, all right, and listen to what God says, everything else that you hear It's going to go right through you. It's not going to matter. All right? It's not going to matter what people say you can't do or you're not going to accomplish. All right? God says you can. All right? And whatever that area may be, it may not be the top of the ladder of anything. It might be the smallest thing, but it's still an accomplishment for you because God has a plan for you. So let's listen to what God says in His Word. I'm going to start with Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. You probably might see a few things that you've heard recently because, you know what, it's the same Spirit. And God is doing something special in this place. All right? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither whether in depth nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think he covered everything. Amen. All right? Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Amen. He covered everything. All right? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So keep that in mind as we go through this. There's a few areas where I just picked out four little ones and how God, his love for us is so special. The first one is God cares for us. If you guys get dizzy, I like to walk around. I'm sorry, but that's me. Because I'm pretty nervous. I'm blushing, but you can't tell. All right? And but that's just the way I am. So let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. Let's see what God says here. All right? He cares for us. God cares for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Does he think he cares for you? I mean, his plans are for your betterment. All right? And by the way, when he does that, it's not just for yourself. When you start feeling God's love, you want to kind of spread it out and give it to everyone you know and everyone you see. And that's what discipleship is all about. And that's what God does. He puts it in your heart. He cares for you, every facet of your life. All right? Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. What does that mean? You don't have to worry about anything. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but God has done that so many times in my life, I can't count them. He has taken care of me in every facet of every aspect of my life. He's always been there, and he's always on time, always. There's times where I had no idea where the next meal was going to come from. All right, and God provided. All right, there was times where I didn't know how I was going to pay a bill. I had no money. I was out of work, laid off, 8 months, no money at all. And I'm saying, how can I do this? You know, and God provided. And when I was out of work for 8 months, I went to school at night. And Nancy took a job at a deli, so I let her use the car, and I rode a bike from Riverside to downtown. So I can go to school at night. And I rode a bike back at nighttime too. And just so that we can make ends meet, you know. And God provided through that schooling, all right, I was able to get a job without even applying for it. So God provides. Romans 8, verses 28 to 32. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Oh my gosh, I love that, because when you start doing what God has asked you to do, things just fall in place. Now, remember something. I'm not saying that it's easy. All right? I am not saying that. I'm not saying that all of a sudden you're going to get all these things handed to you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that because you trust in God, all right, and everything, all the trials that you go through, and James talked about trials, all right? Everything, God will see you through. At the end, you'll see you through. There's going to be a silver lining. You're going to go through trials and tribulations, people. This is life. Look outside, all right? This is life, all right? Things are going to happen in your life. They're going to really put a damper on some things. But when you trust God, he'll provide for you. All right, and that's what we have to get in our spirits, that he'll provide for us. Now, the second one is God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. I mean, how many of you guys know how to budget? You know how to budget, and you know how many guys budget when you and so that you can pay your bills. I mean, young people, you better start getting your hands up. You better learn how to budget. And you got to have some kind of a plan, all right? Right? You learn how to do that so that you can pay your bills and have a little money left over to do some fun things too. But you got to have a plan. And so God has a plan for us. And 1 Peter 2:9 it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You know, it says that we are a peculiar people. That's what I like that word, peculiar. I'm definitely peculiar, all right? So, we are different, all right? And we are different from everybody else, all right? And we should be. When people see us, they should see something different about us. Different in a good way. I mean, some of us, we're a little weird sometimes. That's true, all right? We do some crazy things, all right? But they should see the difference that points them to Christ. When you, whatever you're in, your school, you're at work, you're at play, wherever you're at, you're shopping, people should notice something different about you, all right? Maybe you give up your space in line so someone can go ahead of you, or someone's got more stuff than you do, and you said, why don't you go ahead of me? I only got a couple things. And they're going to look at you like, what in the world's going on here, all right? But that's the difference you should show. And they always point to Christ. They might not ask you right then and there, why are you doing this? But God's looking down on you and saying, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about right here. I want to be, you guys to be ambassadors. I want you to be examples of what I have for you so that other people can see it and see the joy. Because you're Christians and things go wrong, you should not be walking with a sour face. Yeah. Right? I mean, I've seen a lot of people that are Christians and they're always, woe is me. Everything's going, wait a minute, that's not what I learned. I learned, you got to be joyful in all things. Right. Sometimes, tears come. That's fine. Tears are good for you. It helps your emotion. It helps you to heal your body. And then sometimes things happen in life where you're not so happy. Right? But when you start hearing the praise that we had today, boy, was the spirit is in this place today. You feel like, man, everything else does not matter. I just want to worship God because I know what he has for me. And I might not be doing well today, but tomorrow he has a plan for me. Tomorrow is another day. The sun will come up tomorrow. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. "For he chooses us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love." All right? He chooses you. Oh my gosh. Think about it. You're chosen. Peter says you're a chosen generation. All right? You're chosen. God picked you. Handpicked you. All right? Isn't that amazing? Think about it. God said, Pastor Tony, I'm going to use you. Sister Margaret, I'm going to use you. He chose you, all right? He chose you to do his work, all right? And it doesn't matter how little you may think it is. It's huge in his kingdom. It matters because we're one body, one spirit, and we do this all in love. That's our job, to do it in love. It's difficult to love your enemy, isn't it? It's very difficult. It's difficult to walk in those steps that you know that you have to face someone that you don't get along with, right? And that you don't feel so happy about, right? But God says when you show love, it brings confusion to your enemy. Yeah. They don't know how to handle it, right? And all of a sudden they start to change. And you start seeing something happening in their lives. And you see how God works. And guess what? All you did was what God asked you to do. He does the rest. You know what? You have the Holy Spirit behind you, all right? And remember that. The Holy Spirit does the work. All you need to do is walk the steps, all right? Ephesians 2:10. There's a lot of scriptures, God. We got 2 weeks to catch up with. A lot of scriptures. "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what God prepared in advance for us to do." He prepared everything in advance to do good works. Now remember, doing good works does not get you in the kingdom of heaven. You guys understand that, right? It's by the grace of God, all right? Grace of God, his grace. Because if we had to depend on our grace and our works, it would never work. Just take a look around in our government. It's not working very well, all right? It's not about works. It's about he's preparing us to do those things. When we're in Christ, we do them automatically. It's like it's second nature to us, right? We don't have to work hard at it. It's not a burden. It becomes second nature to us. because we are raised in the love of Christ and His mercy. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that God's plan for us? Isn't that so much His plan? He wants all of us to come to the knowledge of His truth. All right, not one single. He doesn't want to leave one behind. Not one. Amen. And you know what? We are His foot soldiers. He uses us sometimes. He uses us to speak the truth. And speaking the truth sometimes hurts. Sometimes we hear the truth and it hurts us. But God has a plan for us. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come under His umbrella, His arms, so that He can hold them and love them like He's loved us. We can't keep it for ourselves. We have to share it abroad. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Hey, Nance, can I have some water? His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You notice He said He's given us everything that we need. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Oh my gosh, that's powerful. He's given us everything we need, every tool. When you're a craftsman, you have certain tools that you need to do your job. All right. Otherwise, the job can't be done. It can be done, but it takes a lot longer, and it's not as efficient. You know, if you're a craftsman like Pastor Tony and Brother Vince and Phil, and they do so much carpentry work, they have special tools. You know, they guard their tools. They love their tools. And men love their tools. I have tools. I have lots of tools. I love my tools. All right. And if you don't have the wrong tool, you can't do the job. The job does not. If you don't have the right meter, you don't know what's going on. All right. But God has given us every available tool that we'll ever need to succeed. He's given us every available means to do what He has called us to do. When God chooses you, and He asks you to do something, He's going to provide everything that you need to do that. All right? He's not going to leave you hanging. All right? He's going to give you everything that you need in order for you to accomplish what He has set forth for you. All right? And everything that you need will be handed to you and given to you because He loves us. And that's how much He loves us. The third one is God will never forsake us. He will never forsake us. All right, I love this because sometimes you're feeling all alone, all right? And you feel like, especially in times where you're mourning and you're in grief and something happens to a loved one, you feel sometimes like you're all by yourself. You know, after all the arrangements and everything and the funeral is done and you're sitting there by yourself, it kind of like hits you all at once. And you feel like you're all by yourself, you know? But God said, I will never forsake you or leave you. I will never leave you alone. And in those times when you're feeling like that, that's when He comes and He just gives you a hug by the Spirit. And you can feel His love surround you. And He sends people to speak to you and bring joy to you, to bring laughter, to help you through your walk of your grieving process, you know. And that's what God does for us. He will never, ever forsake us. Psalm 94:14. For the Lord will not reject His people. He will never forsake His inheritance. Oh my gosh. He won't leave you by yourself. You know, He's right there. He's not going to leave you hanging by yourself. You know, you see the stuff that's going on now in Washington with one faction fighting against another faction and one saying one thing, one saying another thing. You know what? In my opinion, it doesn't matter. The whole problem is one simple thing. You've forgotten God. And that's the issues we have as a country. Not just this country, but around the world. We have forgotten God who has blessed us with this beautiful country, and we have taken it for granted that we can do a better job than He can, and it's not working. All right? And God tells you, listen, I have this plan for you. I'll never forsake you. All right? And yes, there's commands. Yes, there's commandments that we need to follow, but you know what? When you're serving God, Those are so easy when he asks you to do something, because your love for him becomes so much more powerful than what you want for yourself, that it becomes easy. You know, it becomes easier for you day by day as you walk in him. And God shows you what to do. Joshua 1:9. Haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong. I love that. Be strong and courageous. Wherever you go, be strong and courageous. Have you ever had an instance where you feel like you're surrounded by your enemy and all of a sudden you don't know what you're going to do? All right. I recall in my younger days, we lived in a very bad neighborhood. There was a lot of gangs. And every time I seen a group of young boys walking towards me, my first thought was, all right, I'm going to hit this guy first, and then I'm going to run this way, and that way I can get away from them. I kind of escape plan, all right? Escape plan. I don't know if you guys ever grew in a neighborhood like that, but I always thought about an escape plan because that's the way it was. And, you know, that's the way it was. You know, you had to be careful. And if you were by yourself, it was even worse. You know, people took advantage of that. But, you know, when he says be strong and courageous, all right, that means you stand knowing that Jesus Christ is right next to you. He's next to you and the Holy Spirit is there, and you have more strength than you ever thought you had. He gives you boldness, all right? And then he protects you, because when you say things in those instances where God is right there with you, all right, those things kind of break things down. All of a sudden, people back off, all right? I've had that happen, all right? Believe me. Afterwards, I looked at myself, are you nuts? This guy could have killed you. He could have pulled a gun and killed you. But I just felt in my heart, I need to say this. And the guy backs off and he goes, I like you. Oh, good. Because I'm scared. Because that, you know, that's what, sometimes this happens. I'm serious. And I mean, sometimes God's asked me to speak to things that are saying, whoa, this is, Lord, you sure you want me to do this? I said, that guy might have a gun in that truck. And you want me to go over there and tell him that he needs to accept you, and they want to beat me and my youth kids up, and you sure you want me to do this? Yes. So as I stepped up to the vehicle, we got a report. We were on a trip into Pennsylvania and a university. I forget the name. It starts with an L. It's up in the hills in Pennsylvania. Anyways, we got a report from the people that ran the thing that there was someone driving around assaulting the Christians that were at this conference. And they said they were in a truck. Well, we happened to meet that person and the other person that was in the car with them. And they came out and said, you're a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And they go, are you the youth leader? I said, I am. And they go, well, we're going to kill you. And I told there was a bunch of boys with me. I said, get behind me, guys. Just get behind me. And I'm shaking, all right? Because there's two guys in the truck. I don't know what's in there. So I stepped forward. I said, and he goes, we're going to kill all of you. And I said, well, if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill them, you're going to have to go through me first. All right, and I just stepped up, and I was just praying in the spirit. All of a sudden, all the boys lined up next to me, like this, right next to me. And the one guy in the car that was still in the car goes, I think we better leave. And they left and reported, got the license plate, and they arrested them. They got them. We got their license plate number and the description of the two people that were harassing and wanting to hurt Christian people. This is back going about 20 years ago. All right, it's worse now. All right, but God gives you that strength. Maybe not as much as I've seen and shared with you in my life, but he gives you that strength to be bold, stand strong, be courageous. You know, what do we have to fear? You know, if we believe in him, where are we going? We're going to heaven for eternity, right? All right, what do we have to fear? All right, I think it's going to be a lot better there than here. I don't think I'm going to have to worry about they said this and they did this and we're going to tax you for this. You don't have to worry about that. All I'm going to be doing is worshiping God, dancing and praising the Lord. And you know what? I'm even going to have hair. You know, so it's like, what do I got to worry about? Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Discouragement, fear. Man, it changes our whole mindset, doesn't it? When we're afraid, you know, look at the Word of God says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm right there. I'm with you. I'm going to stand with you. That's what his Word says, and that's what he does for us. And we're doing this because this is what God says. This is not what I say. This is what God says. And what God says means a lot. All right. What I say means very little. All right. But God says we are to do these things because He said so. Because He said so. Now I'm looking for my other sheet here because I got so many sheets here. I'm 2 weeks behind. You got to catch up. God has a plan for our eternity. Isn't that good? All right? This is our reward. John 3:16. Everyone knows that, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And what do we do for that? What do we do to earn that? I'm going to tell you something, what we did. Nothing. It's by His grace. Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. So that we have the hope that only we can have because we believe in Jesus Christ. He's going to change our lives. And that hope is eternal life. And that makes me feel so good. All right? It makes me feel so good. Romans 6:22. Well, now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Look at that. This is God's promises. You know, when God says something, He never, ever goes back on His word. Ever. He says it, it's the way it is. All right? And you never have to worry about God breaking His promise. Ever. His promises will last forever and ever. And He has a promise that every single promise that He said in the Bible has never been broken. Never been broken. You know who breaks the promises? We do. We break the promises. And we said, Lord, if you do this, I will never do this again. All right? You ever do that? I've done that. God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you, I'll never do this again. All right? Just get me out of this situation. You know, He loves us so much that He knows what we're going to do later on. He gets us out of this situation, and we do it again, He gets us out again, all right? Because He loves us, all right? That's how He is. Got Romans 6:22, all right? But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. That's awesome. Did we just do that? We did. Okay. That's the next one. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, wouldn't I have not told you that? I am going there to prepare a place for you. These are His promises. This is what He's going to do for you. All right? This is what God says. I want you to remember what He says, not what the world says, not what your best friend says, not what people say you can't and won't do. All right? But God says all this for you, for each and every one of us. He's got a place for you. He's got your own apartment. All right? You know, it's all set up for you. He's ready. It's going to be yours. And it's so lavish, you can't imagine it. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and I have not grown weary. He never tires taking care of us. Not anything that we go through, God's going to be there. You don't have to worry about anything. All right? And you know, I want to share this because I want to encourage you this year. You know how when the holidays end, the day after, they start selling stuff for exercise equipment and, you know, rearranging your house, storage containers and all this stuff to get you ready for the year to come, all right, to change some habits that maybe we had before and maybe we ate too much during the holidays like I did, all right. But, you know, it's always like the day after, it seems like, immediately, they got all these plans for you. How are we going to change what's going to happen during the year? All right? But I want you to use this instead of that. All right? And I think this will help in all those areas. Instead of looking for changes in the way you act and stuff like that, start changing in spirit. And start listening to what God said to you. All right? And what God says about you. Not what other people say. All right? Make that turnaround. All right, in your life, that we understand what God says about us so that we're not walking around there, woe is me, but we're walking saying we are His. He has called us to be His people. All right, we serve a God that is holy and mighty. All right, we serve a God that says I'm going to take care of it. He says these things. I wrote them down for you. He says, you are loved. You are set free. You are priceless. You have my spirit. You have been transformed. You are redeemed. You are my ambassadors. That's what he says about us. Now, if anybody says that about me, I feel pretty good about that, you know. I said, you know, I'm loved. I'm taken care of. God is doing, he's showing me that he loves me so much, all right, that I don't have to worry about everything else. And sometimes people say things to us that bring us down. When that happens, start remembering what God says. Remember what he said about you, all right. You know what? And you don't have to worry about what you did and how you did it and all your sins, all right, because you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the right position already. All right? It's not about what you do. It's not about your performance. All right? It's not about anything that you do. It's the grace of God that he brings us through this. And you know, sometimes we feel like we can put ourselves, if we go here and we do this and we do that, we're in a better spot. No. Let's just listen to what God says in our hearts and do what he's called us to do. And watch your life change. Watch how you look at yourself differently than you did before. I mean, because you remember what God said, right? Remember that. He says you are loved. He says you are set free. He says you are my people. He says you're redeemed. He says you are my ambassadors. And he said, I love you. And when God says that, that brings joy. It should bring joy to your heart and brings joy to my heart. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. And Romans 8:37 says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All right? And I want to encourage you this year. I want to encourage you to remember what God says about you individually, and that God has a plan for you, and that God wants you to succeed, not to fail. He wants you to succeed, and he wants you to be his ambassadors, to share his love by how you speak to people, and he wants you to do this in love and in mercy and in grace. And I want you to listen to this song. When I heard this song, it just does something to me. It's a beautiful song, and there's issues with the singer. I don't care. The song is written by the Holy Spirit, and the words are just so powerful, and they minister to me, and I hope they minister to you the same way they do. Listen to the song.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure love. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, oh, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I and
Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Just pierced my heart. This is what God says. When we're weak, He's strong. And it's just that song just does something to me. I've listened to it hundreds of times already, and it does the same thing every single time. And I want you to know that He cares so much for you. Right? And He wants you to succeed. He wants you to shine. He really does. He wants you to shine. All right? Because you know what? We're a reflection of His Son. Like the moon is a reflection of the sun, it gives off light. All right? We should be given off light. So this coming year, as you go around, instead of saying negative things, let's say positive things. Let's say good things. Let's say things of God. All right? Instead of watching or listening to something that's depressing, let's read the Word. See what God says about you. See what He wants you to do. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Listen to worship music. All right? And let that lift you up and put you in a place you should be in. Right? Let's just let God use you this year. Let Him use you. Let His love just shine through you. And walk. You know, if you're a king's kid, that's what we are. We're king's kid. You should be walking with, you know, little. You remember this walk like here? Remember that? You guys, anybody remember that kind of walk? Remember that walk? You remember that walk, right? All right. I didn't do that walk because my father would have hit me with that because he didn't like that. You know, he didn't like that walk. You're showing off, right? But we need to let people know that, you know, there's a little jump in our step. And they want to know why you have that little jump in your step, all right? You got a little rhythm in your walk here. You know, you're smiling. Why are you smiling? Why are you always smiling? Why are you happy? You know, say, hey, I have the Lord. I'm the king's kid. I'm royalty. They might think you're crazy. That's okay. You know, many people say I'm crazy. You know? But I said, that's all right. I can be crazy for the Lord. All right, guess what? I'm happy. I'm happy that He is my God. I'm happy that I serve Him. I'm happy that I'm a slave. That's okay. I don't mind at all. All right, He is there for every part of my life. He has blessed me continually. He has blessed this church. He has blessed me with a wonderful friends and family in this place. What can I be upset about? God is good all the time. If the ushers will come up, we're going to praise team come up to the end. All right. Now, guys, remember, if you miss a bill, the gas company is not going to give you any leeway, right? If you miss any kind of car payments or mortgage payment, they'll be calling you, right? So, you know, we weren't here last week, so let's not forget last week's tide, because we need that to keep this place warm, keep this upkeep in this place, and make sure that we take care of everything that we need to take care of, all right? And that's, you know, that's just part of worship, all right? When you give, it's worship, all right? It's not yours in the first place. Remember that. He gave you everything that you have. So when you give it back, He's just going to give it right back to you. All right, so let's do that. All right, let's remember to worship God by our tithes and our offerings. And it's Mission Sunday. All right, and let's remember that, you know, that it's God's anyways, and give Him what He duly deserves, you know. And, you know, let's do that and be happy. All right, if you're giving it and you're not happy about it, I don't want it. I said, we don't want it. I said, God doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. What does He need it for? You know, He doesn't need it. He has everything. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we're able to worship You by our tithes and offering, to give You, Lord God, what You have blessed us, just a small portion. And Father, that we're thankful, Lord God, it will be used for the upkeep of this place, Lord God, for the people in this place, Lord God, to expand Your word so that we can be ambassadors outside this place, not just here, in our homes, in our workplace, in our school, in our play times, Lord God. We can minister the word of God in truth, Lord God. Bless every giver. Bless this time, Lord God, as we worship You with our tithes and offering. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.